Yeah, but in last week, the idea of redemption, personal redemption, and national redemption, you know, there's themes here which I think we've already sort of looked at and gone into. And this week I want to deal with Rafa'inu. By way of introduction, this famous statement of Chazal, Tov Sheba Rofim Negehina, right? Remember this, where is this? Gemara. Best of Rofim to Netherlands. That's not somewhere in Europe, it's somewhere else. And the question is, why? And there was a Hasidic interpretation which always tickled me, is that Tov is Gematria Tet Vav Bet, is Gematria Shvaisri, 17. And why Tov Sheba Rofim Negehina? Because they are so full of their own ability to heal that they miss out Rafa'inu. They can't come to terms with saying Rafa'inu, that it's really Hashem is giving the Kayach to heal. It wasn't, so I think it was Morris and Hedger, or certainly somewhere around there, a number of places. But that's what, so Rafa'inu is a bracha which demands a certain amount of anivus, a certain amount of humility. And without that humility, they can't, you know, one can't really say it. What was the joke about God walking around in a white coat?
All right, just got the 17, and they
miss out the 17, they miss out the one bracha, right? Tov Sheba Rofim, because they missed out the one bracha, Rafa'inu, that's why it's only 17. And that's why Legehina, which is not very complimentary, but it was Hasidish, it's okay. And the, excuse me, and the other thing is, of hang on a second, what was it to say? What we're saying here is this incredible concept. Oh yes, God walking around in a white coat. And when they got up there, they asked him, what was he doing? The answer was he was playing doctors, which is an interesting sort of twist on the thing. I'm not going to say any more because I've sort of got a, we've got a dental sort of thing in the corner here.
I wasn't on strike today.
You weren't on strike today. Really? Unbelievable. I remember in Israel they tried to do a doctor's strike and there were real sort of, you know, moral issues coming up. Much more than they were talking about here. Mm-hmm. Here they just did it. You know, in Israel there was conscience and there was discussion and there was a whole business over there. Anyway, the kitzur, Rafa'inu is a bracha which clearly demands a certain amount of attention from our point of view. There's this beautiful tool of the Rambam which a lot of doctors do, from doctors have, which kind of says at the end of the day, whatever we can do, you know, the Gemara says that the Rofa is mutal rapus, is given permission. Because you may argue that at the end of the day, if it's God running the world, if God pratis or whatever, then who are we to mix in? But of course Judaism never says that. And that's quite a dangerous thing. That's where you get all these terrible cases of people, you know, sort of like the J witnesses and not taking blood transfusions and whatever. You know, we're not into any of that stuff. As far as we're concerned, you know, wherever you can get the refuah, it's got to be pursued. And you know, we've never been dogmatic about all the various modern refuahs that are going on. We are slightly hesitant about certain things, but we're not. We don't reject them. Fertility, things like that. You know, which is one of the things that, for instance, the Catholic Church is very against any fertility treatment. They basically don't want to hear about it. And Judaism has always been quite open about it, certainly in the last 20 years since it's been an issue. And that's a whole discussion unto itself. And it's interesting. The attitude is that mutter up is not a
God gives us the ability to be
ability. We should follow it up and not ignore it. I mean, there was a case in London just to kind of stress the point that the rab that I was learning with in London for a long time is a very major sort of posek in sort of around London, and he was paskening a shiloh, which was really quite interesting. A woman who had fertility treatment had triplets. Eventually she got triplets, but the treatment was to be done in such a way that she had to go at certain times to the hospital to be treated. There's a hospital there in Hammersmith, which Winston is on the TV here occasionally. Robert Winston is actually an Orthodox guy. He doesn't work at Bad all the time, but he's a Shemesh Shabbos guy, an interesting fellow. And he's one of the experts in fertility in England. And of course, one of the days that she had to go in was Shabbos. What did she do? Right, it was a from couple. And the psak was, without a doubt, you go in on Shabbos, right? To get from her home to this place took about an hour on public transportation, and she would do it in such a way that she would have the tickets sort of hanging from the lapel or whatever. They made it in such a way that she could actually do it, and she went. And you know, the proof was that they had three boys. It was amazing. Triplets, incredible story. After years and years of not having children, and that was a long bris. Three separate ceremonies. It took about 2.5 hours, the whole thing.
A break in between each one.
There were a break between each one. Yeah, you had to go for a walk around the block. A bit like the Shalashudis Sod Yadzif, you know, that sort of thing. Break, take a little walk, and come back again for the next ceremony. Unforgettable.
Sorry? Requests.
Next lot. Bring them in.
Three times.
A wheel of it.
Different rides, different
babies. It was amazing. But it was an experience. I mean, that was something. So again, Rafa'inu, the whole idea is clearly that we have an allowance. were certainly allowed to pursue the concept of Rafua. But again, within the framework, the understanding that, you know, that Kol B'Deh Shamayim Chutz Mi'Yirat Shamayim, that the real Rafua comes from God, and we are kind of the conduit. We are the channel through which these Rafuas can be performed. And this is really something quite important to bear in mind. Before we get to the Peirush, just look at the bracha. Rafa'inu Hashem v'nei rafei, v'sheinu v'sheh. So we're talking about two things. We're talking about Rafua, and we're saying Rafa'inu Hashem v'nei rafei. Right, heal us Hashem, and we will be healed. Which is kind of strange way of putting it. All right. We'll see, as we saw last week, that the psukim, the tefillahs really stem from psukim. You know, if you were a man of the Great Assembly, Anshei Knesset Gedola, living about 2,000 years ago, and you had to make up the Amidah, what would you do? Right? So the first thing you do is you open up a Tanakh, you find psukim. You find psukim about Refuah, you find psukim about Ge'ula, you find psukim about Bracha, you find, you know, Birkas Hashanah, you find psukim about everything. And then, based on those psukim, you create your prayer. All right? Because, you know, that's the only way you can do it. You have to go back to Dovid HaMelech, you go back to Shlomo, you go back to, you name it. Whoever's given tefillahs, Chana, I don't know, whoever it is, right? You find those psukim and then you mold them into your particular prayer. So I can understand what the Anshei Knesset Gedola really did. But it's just interesting that the wording here, Rafeinu Hashem v'nei rafei, Hoshe'enu v'nei vasheh, it's kind of saying, God, do this for us and we will, you know, it will work for us. In other words, again, saying that in the end of the day, we may think it comes from man, but no, it comes from Hashem. All right, and Bahoshi'ein Vashem, the idea of Yeshua here. And is it, what sort of Yeshua are we talking about here? Are we talking about a salvation in terms of Refuah? But that's already mentioned in Refuah. So what's the Hoshi'ein Vashem? Right? And then we say, Ki Silaseinu Alta, as a kind of recognition that you are, as he says, you are our praise, right? In other words, that we recognize that it all comes from you. And then the Ha'alei Refuah Shleim L'chol Makisin, which is again an interesting expression. Ha'alei means to bring up, right? And the Refuah Shleima, the Chol Makaseinu, to bring a Refuah Shleima, didn't we just ask for Refuah? Because we said, Refa'inu Hashem, please heal us, v'nei rafei. So what's the Bahalei Refuah Shleima, the Chol Makaseinu? It's kind of going over the whole ground again. And there we recognize, Ki Keo Melech Hanun, Rofei Ne'eman Rechaman Ata, which again is very wordy. All right, the El Melech seems to be kind of extra. I would have been much happier saying, Ki Rofei Ne'eman Rechaman Ata. Right, you are faithful and merciful healer, which is the Shavach at the end. All right? There's a lot of repetition over here, and there's a lot of definition which we need to go through. Before we even look at that, just to talk about the order, we spoke about that last week. We have the seventh bracha is the bracha of Geula because of the seventh millennium. Right? The eighth bracha is the bracha of Refuah. Why? Why number eight? Obvious answer. What happens? I mean, eight.
Ma'alameva.
Oh, you said the not obvious answer. I was looking for something more obvious. There was even a thing in Shul this morning. Bris Mila. And the rabbis say that the eighth bracha, Refuah, is Neged Bris.
Kosmet
this morning. Was Bris. And it's good grief. He's on 2 feet. I was surprised that you were here. The fact that the father of the bride is here. Good grief.
A few broken toes, but
yeah. So they could be carrying him in sort of sideways. Amazing. Okay, good. All right, that's
could get himself invited to share a problem today.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So again, the repetition is something which demands our attention. The fact that it's the eighth bracha, I think, is relatively straightforward. And this is something that the Gemara says. The eighth bracha represents the idea of what happens on the eighth day. What Jay said, which I think is also quite a fantastic idea, which again is sort of linked to Maral and various other sources, is the number eight is Me'al HaTeva. Seven always represents things which happen in nature. Eight represents Me'al HaTeva. At the end of the day, Refuah sometimes is Me'al HaTeva. Right, we know this.
It also fits into the words, because if you take a look, it says, Ki Kel Melech Rofei Ne'eman Barachem Adal. So going into that whole thing of the Indian of three, which
right,
is Chesed, Gvura, and Emes. Ki Kel Melech is Gvura.
Right.
And so we're saying that Mibchinat Hadin, okay, we have to get sick. And we know you're a Melech of Gvura, and that's why we're asking, Rofei Ne'eman V'Racham Anata. We're asking for Chesed.
Because it's really a Chesed. It's really a Chesed. And that, of course,
and
is then Me'al Me'Eva. That's above and beyond. Good evening. Hi.
Hi.
That's quite a. I don't know. It's a pretty terrifying shot, but I think it's very close to maybe, you know, where we're at with this particular subject. As we said at the beginning, it's that we're allowed to deal in it, provided that we kind of recognise where it's come from. The bracha of Hagoma is kind of the follow-up to this situation. You know, Hagoma will say that I got through it, and I got through my hospital situation, whatever it may be, and now, you know, I've just got to make a public recognition, right, to say to Hashem that this is it. You know, thank you. It's so recognised that at the end of the day, this is really all from God. Even what seemed to be the chokhmah of Bnei Adam is really coming from Hashem. One feels that, one must feel that, certainly in medicine today, with the developments. I mean, what's been going on in the last 15, 20 years? I don't know how to keep up with it. You know, it's just mind-blowing. I mean, dentistry, look what's going on. It's a phenomenal, incredible thing. Things you can do, you know, and medically, let alone talking about cosmetically. It's unbelievable. And all of this chokhmah, you know, one sees chokhmah sort of speeding up the whole time. Things are moving quicker and quicker. And it's just, again, this bracha is kind of refreshing because it puts it into perspective. Rafa'enu Hashem, and we recognize v'nei rafi, right? Once we understand Rafa'enu Hashem, that it's Hashem giving us the refuah, v'nei rafi, you know, we feel sort of more, I don't know what the word is, comfortable, it's more recognition, it's more, I don't know what the word would be, but v'nei rafi, you know, we have a confidence. But let's just talk about the psukim for a second, where this all comes from. And again, this sefer brings the Rishonim. He points out to you over here something. Where is it? Here we are. Pasuk Ubi Yirmiyahu, right? So Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, 17:14. Like scoring, whatever. That wouldn't be baseball. That would be football. Yeah, 17:14. Not English soccer. That would be a disaster. 17:14. Balashen Yochid. Interestingly, the pasuk in Yirmiyahu is actually in the singular. And there's a whole discussion over here, and some of them are flourishing, how we can take a singular pasuk and put it into the plural, right? What is the pasuk in Yirmiyahu? The pasuk over there is Balashen Yochid. He doesn't actually bring the pasuk here. Hang on a second. Where is it? It must be one of these other books. This is so. They obviously assume that you knew Tanakh by heart. Unbelievable, these guys. Hang on a second. Yeah, Rafa'eini Hashem ve'eirofe. Heal me, God, and I will be healed. Hoshieini ve'ivosheya. Right, save me and I will be saved. So of course the question is now, how could we turn a singular pasuk into a plural? Right, why not? And believe it or not, there is a Gemara about that. The Gemara says, just to quote, the Tosefta Megillah, which says, Kol HaKosav L'Rabim Eimachanes HaLiyochid, Liyochid Eimachanes HaLiRabim. Right, so therefore a pasuk which is in the plural, one shouldn't really turn it into a singular, and the other way around is as well. So what are we doing? We're taking a pasuk from Tanakh and turning it from singular into plural. Right, the answer is of course that this is different. Pirush HaRamah, one of the Rishonim, explains the Ramah, Davka b'targum ha-metargim ha-psukim ha-akari posuk k'tova b'zman she-mechavein likro. Ein Rishay l'shanam y-rabim y-yochim y-yochim y-rabim. He says the whole thing of changing from singular to plural to singular is when you're actually literally interpreting the psukim, when you're translating or whatever it may be, you keep it in the tense that it was given in. Aval posuk shel tefilo she-ein kavonos ha-tzibo likrosom. It's not really the kavanah of the tzibah to read these psukim as psukim from the Torah or from Tanakh. But it's to pray to God with all your heart. A supplication. This is like all other prayers. You're allowed to change them according to the needs of the hour. And the requirements of the prayer. So basically changing from the plural, or in this case from the singular to the plural, is allowed. So in case you were worried about that, the answer is don't be worried. All right? I wasn't particularly worried about it, but I assumed that there was a good reason why they did it. So again, what did the Chazal do? They looked into Sefer Yirmiyahu, and they found this pasuk, and they played with it. Right? They said, look, obviously none of the tefillahs here are in the singular. It's all in the plural. Right? Interestingly, what I find very challenging is Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, particularly Yom Kippur with the Oshanu. There are different nuschos of the vidui, where in fact you find it in the singular, not in the plural. Oshamti, bogadati. Right? What do we say? Oshamnu, bogadnu. We do it as a plural.
What does the Baal Tefillah say?
And the Baal Tefillah, everybody says Oshamnu, as it goes. But the there are versions of the vidui which put it into the singular. It's almost the only exception, except for the end of the Amida, Elokai, Mitzvah, Lashoni, Meirah. which becomes our private supplication, our private prayer at the end of the Amida, mm-hmm. where we turn it from the plural to the singular. Everything else is
Tevilah B'Tzibur.
Yeah, because that in the context, I suppose, fits. I'm happy with that, in the sense that it's a personal prayer to God to allow me, you know, as we said, to give me the courage to speak, right? Because we're so, we should be so terrified we couldn't even open our mouths to speak. So that one I'm not too bothered about, and even at the end of the Amida. What I am bothered about is when you turn a plural confession into a singular thing. That's
especially when it's done on a communal
and it's done on a communal
well.
Basis. And you look in the Chayodom, he's got a whole confession there as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if it's plural or singular. In other words, there's a bit of confusion in my mind when, you know, obviously when we're talking about Tefillah B'Tzibur, we always do it in the nu, do it in the plural, or the ni, depending on how you pronounce it. It makes a lot of sense, because that's the essence of prayer, communal prayer, that we're doing it as a joint group. This beautiful idea that we kind of mashlim. Mashlim means that, you know, what you're stronger, I'm weaker. What you're weaker, I'm stronger. So we can't become a unit. That's why davening with a tzibur is so much better than davening by yourself. By yourself is literally the spotlight. Somebody put it to me, and it's a really scary thought. The spotlight's on you, right? The whole time when you're davening by yourself. So if you start thinking about your vacation that you had in wherever, in Florida, and it's sort of in the middle of the Amida, it's you standing there in the middle of the stage, giving a solo, and in the middle of the solo, you start having, you know, you stop singing and you start talking about something completely different in the middle of your performance. It's not going to work. But when you're in a choir of 200 people, or whatever it is, 50 people, or whatever, and you sing a bit off key, nobody's going to really notice, because the whole thing, you know, really sort of crescendos together. And that's the difference between Tefillah B'Tzibur and Tefillah B'Yechidus. Which is sort of worth thinking about. When one davens b'yichidus, then clearly one's got to sort of be careful about that, you know, make sure one tries one's best. Alright, so again, the sukkim that we're dealing with, the transformation of the sukkim, I think becomes very clear. The question that I really sort of want to concentrate on, just for a few minutes, is really, what are we talking about? What sort of refuah are we actually talking about here? Refa'inu Hashem v'nei refa'i. And then we say it again, v'halei refuah shalem l'chol makusenu. And the ha'alei is an interesting expression to bring up, to elevate, right? And again, what are we actually doing by doubling this expression? And if you think about it, we say the Mishaberech more or less almost on a daily basis. And in the Mishaberech that we say for cholim, we always talk about refuas and nefesh, refuas aguf. So what does that mean? Refuas and nefesh means healing the soul. Refuas aguf, healing the body. Right? So what are we saying with refuas and nefesh? We're saying that in other words, there's two levels of healing. Refuas and nefesh, are we talking about psychological healing? And are we talking about physical healing? Or are we talking about something else? Refuas and nefesh, spiritual healing. Right? And then refuas aguf, physical healing. And essentially, what does this all boil down to? An interesting discussion about the essence of disease and the essence of suffering, right? We can get into very deep philosophical waters here. And what we're going to say is that in order to achieve refuah sagur, the first thing that we have to be masakin, we have to put right in refuah sanefesh. We've actually got to achieve something spiritual first before we achieve something physical. And maybe this is what this bracha is doing. Refa'inu Hashem v'nei refa'i shenim v'sheh, and that's the idea of Yeshua. It's got to be a spiritual healing first. Kisul ha'senot, because this is the real praise of God. And then we'll come to a physical refuah shleima. And once we mention the physical, then we can add our own personal prayer, which you see comes in at that point. You can do your own tefillah for anyone who is sick in the physical sense. Right? You see how that fits in now very nicely to that particular part of the davening.
Yep, but yet we pray for them to have refuah nefesh. Right?
We say tisha b'heir refuah shleima nashamayim, refuah nefesh, refuah good. Yeah, that's not a problem. Right? In other words, once we're up, because our focus here, obviously, is still about refuah sagur, I would, as much as I myself want to refuah sanefesh before refuah sagur, you know, I would be very loath to miss that out for somebody else. But what I'm suggesting is that the place of that particular tefillah is at the place right. where we're asking for refuah sagur. Because that's essentially, if you think about it, if you ask 99 out of 100 people, what are you praying for when you pray for somebody's welfare? You're praying for their refuah sagur. All right, but we would not want to exclude refuah sanefesh from that person as well, understanding what refuah sanefesh really means. And it's not going to a psychiatric world, but it's actually something spiritual. Right? That's what I think we're really getting at. Yeah. I hope that makes sense. I think it sort of makes sense.
I think the reason I add this is they're trying to teach us that there's no refuah sagur without a refuah sanefesh.
And
that one is a manifestation of something lacking in the other.
Meaning what?
In other words, that you only have I hate to use the word, the opposite of a refuah sagur
you only have a disease if there's something lacking in the nephus.
In the nephus, yeah. Yeah, which is a very...
I don't know, that's a pretty...
It's a pretty wild statement.
I'm just suggesting it.
I look at it the other way. I think you can't have refuah sukkuf unless you first have refuah
sukkuf. But I wouldn't like to sort of put it into the causative and say, well,
right.
What's cool?
I think you need to spiritually be healed before you could be physically.
Yeah,
I think anybody can accept that. Because the truth is, I think there's a lot of medicine that's based on that.
Based on unbelievable stories going on about psychological, psychosomatic diseases and
cures
and...
But you're taking it... That's very...
You're taking it to a point.
To the next step.
You're taking it to the next step, and that's
there are some very holy people who have gotten
this. This is where we're going to get into.
We don't, I'll be the first to admit, there's no way I can even begin to understand that. But we don't know.
So maybe they're not lacking in their spirituality, so to speak. Maybe they're just sick. You know?
No. Maybe this is their issue as well.
This is coincidental.
A person can get sick even though he's...
This is a very tough subject. I can tell you now, there's a philosophically and historically, Chaviv ben Yisurim, there was Rabbi Akiva's famous sort of philosophy of life, right, which he lived right to his death. Okay, and there was a whole derech in Judaism like that. There were other derechim which sort of saw the upside, if you want to call it that. I mean, not really an upside. To bear your suffering, we say it in the tefillah. Right, Loi that you saw him. We say Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, right? That we should have a kapara, but not through Yisurim v'chalayim, right? And this is what we say in our tefillahs. So it's a tremendously tough step, which I really didn't want to. I didn't want to take it to that level because I know that this can generate kind of very, very difficult reactions. There's not that I'm saying you're wrong. I'm not saying you're right either.
It's sort of implying it by asking for this. Refuah sukkuf.
But what comes first is clearly refuah sukkuf. That's the basis of
the refuah. Right, so you just use logic, which is very bad to do when you're talking about something like this.
Yeah.
Is if it's what needs to be cured first, that's what it has been,
That's what's been soiled, as it were.
Right, right. Or something is wrong with it.
It's very tough. We have a bit of dissension in the ranks here. I'm not saying that it's...
I think us mortals can't relate to it that respect.
To understand. Yeah.
Because it would be very hard for us to, anytime somebody gets sick, you might be right, but it's very hard.
You can't live your life like that, it's impossible.
Yeah, it's very tough. Having sort of set up this concept, right, of two levels of refuah, right? And of course, we could argue that maybe, we'll come back to that. Let's have a look at what the Rav Avraham says, because he's also sort of gone into this with quite a sort of broad perspective over here as well. I think he's very much in line with what we're trying to suggest in terms of the spiritual approach as well as the physical approach. Right, and again, the basic concept is what we're saying in a nutshell this evening is that refuah is as much a spiritual concept as a physical concept, and that's a very good reminder to have. Hopefully, one was not in need of refuah, but even more so when sometimes one is in need of refuah. Right, it's just one of those things that can give you a bit of chizuk as well, can give you a lot of strength if one takes it in that way. It's not easy. I mean, I'm not saying this is an easy mindset. It's a very difficult mindset, but at the same time, it's a very encouraging mindset, and we'll see how he takes this. Rafa'enu, and look what he says here. He tefilas yimiyo, right? As we said, this is the prayer of yimiyo. Rak shenishtane loshem rabim, right? Kamosha matzino be Yeshua, because it says with Yeshua, hoshi'enu v'nivasher, the same thing, which in yimiyo was in the singular, right? Now, he brings a precedent for this. Ne'emar, we find it said, Baruch Hashem yom yom, yamos lanu hokel Yeshua seinu selam. May God heap upon us or beloved for us our salvation seller. Right? And the word seller is a whole debate that we've spoken about that once before. What exactly seller means? It's a notricon, isn't it? An abbreviation. Slach lanu Hashem. That's what I was told in Hebrew school very long time ago. Kemlech ne'amon. Amen. And there's lots of these sort of abbreviations which sort of have deeper meanings. Right, the idea of a name is a statement of faith in God, and Sela is a request for forgiveness. They're interesting ideas, they're interesting abbreviations here. But that's just as by the by. So he explains this pasuk. Well, what I didn't have time to do, of course, is to find out where this pasuk is from. I thought I knew. Baruch Hashem Yom Yom is a pasuk that we say, now one second. You know, we do say this in Davening, right? This is going to put you on the spot, because I thought I could find it in 2 seconds. I could have. I really could find it. Here we go. This is going to be a good one. This is kind of a test of, a memory test, because I can never do this, but,
First thing is this.
Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. You know where it is. I'll tell you where it is. It might be, I think it's in Vayitim, and that's why nobody can remember it. Because
I'll tell you exactly where it is. It's in Tehillim 68, verse 20.
One second, how do you do that one? Where did you see it? There you go, the second. Woo!
Tehillim 68, Pesach Shavuot.
That was impressive, but how did you...
Samachas
20?
Pesach
68, Samachas. So,
Baruch Hashem, Yom Yom, Yamas Manu, Hakel Yisrael Seinu Sela.
That is very impressive. Baruch Hashem, that's right, page 1013.
And how? Because Hasidim always, the first mirror, they say after Askinu, Sudasa, Bashabbos, in the afternoon, is Baruch Hashem, Yom Yom.
Baruch Hashem,
Yom Yom, Yamas Manu, Yos.
I'm speechless. And it's before the children. It's amazing.
No, it's after the children.
It's right after the children.
No, that's before the children.
That's right after the fish.
That's right after the fish. Well,
this is Bashar Shudas.
No.
Ashkenaz does
he? Ashkenaz does he by every meal.
Yeah, Ashkenaz.
By every meal.
This is...
Ashkenaz
does he
by every meal.
This is why you're on the verge of joining.
This is why you're joining.
Question, yeah, that's it. And it's on, and you got it. Gee, color cover. Oh my God, I wouldn't have looked there. I would have looked in the Yitzhak. You're still looking in the
Yitzhak. Yeah, Yitzhak. No, it's Baruch Hashem Yom Yom.
Yeah.
Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. So that's probably why you were thinking
about it. So maybe it's not Baruch Hashem Yom Yom.
Yeah.
Okay, let's say that. Whatever. Well, we're now on at least we found the Pasuk in Tehillim. All right. Again, back to the Pasuk. So he explains. Pirush. Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. What does that mean? Kol Yom Vayom. Me'ein Berchosam. Every day there is an element of his blessings with us, right? Gam al hatova haba min ara, even for goodness that comes out of evil. Now again, this is dealing with a sort of Jewish concept which is very very central to our belief, right? The Yichud Hashem, the idea that essentially everything is good, called the Rachman al Tav. Everything that God does is for the good, and even though it looks bad, it's not really bad, right? And this, of course, again, is a very difficult concept to come to terms with. The way it was explained to me by the now Mashgiach of Lakewood. At the time when he was in Gateshead, he said that Rabbi Lopin, his Rebbe, said that there's no such thing as bad. The word ra is not a word that you use in describing events. You use the word bitter. And he works in Yiddish, because bitter in Yiddish means the same as it does in English, bitter. He says sometimes there are things that happen which are bitter, leave a bad taste. Right, leave a bitter taste. But are they essentially bad? The answer is no. You sometimes have to take a pill, which is really bitter. But is it there to help you? The answer is yes. So you see, it's a mindset. Lady Jacobitz, who's the wife of the chief rabbi who passed away a few years ago, she's still around very much, and she doesn't talk about problems. She says no such thing as a problem, there's only a situation. Problem becomes kind of overwhelming. Too many problems and you kind of check out, you give up. Situations, you do something about. Right? A situation is like, no, I've got a situation, I've got to deal with it.
You mentioned earlier, Rabbi Kovitz, there's no such thing as Kodesh and Hol. There's just varying degrees of Kodesh.
Variations of Kodesh. And it's all a way of looking at the world, and it's a phenomenal thing if one can do this. Right? Going through the sort of trials that some of the Jews have been through. You know, look in the last 50, 60 years and see what people have been through. And you can still come out and see, you know, essentially everything is there for the at least to believe that it's for the good, even though, you know, what one saw was so difficult.
Rabbi Akiva, that's what he learned from his Rabbi Nachum Mishkan.
And this is Rabbi Akiva's philosophy, and it's all the same approach. It's something you have to work on your whole life almost to get to achieve that. But at the same time, it's a phenomenal way of getting through life, trials and tribulations. So again, back to what he says here. He says that every day there are berchoiso, the blessings, gam al hatova haba min ara, even if it comes from ra. Ki ein ra ba min ha-shamayim. It's all the same. There's no such thing as really evil from heaven, right? Ki kavanaso v'sofo l'tova, because the intention is always for the good. I find that interesting. When you look in Shulchan Aruch, you'll never find simon resh ayin. right? They took this to an interesting level. It's always Ayin Resh, all right? And Simon Resh Ayin Hey becomes Ayin Resh Hey.
Yeah, yeah. With Tashdam instead of Tashma.
And then any word which sort of has got a negative connotation, you change around the letters. And that's not just a play on the letters, but it's actually a mindset, right? When you talk about Simon Resh Ayin, you don't talk about Simon Ra. Right, bad singing. It's about similar IRA, so you want it to be, you know, not what it sounds like. I think it's really interesting. It's sort of it goes right through, even into the sort of the text of Halakha as well. Very, very sort of important idea. So again, what happens is everything is for the good. The only problem is our appreciation of it. Rak she'ein onu maskilim betilosa. Right, we don't actually have the intelligence to praise him for this, right? Because we see it as a bad thing. You know what we're going through at the moment with this space shuttle. Good has to eventually sort of develop from this, but you know, one can say it and sort of to do it is and believe it and to sort of live it is a different ball game. But anyway, he says that's the way it should be. What we are asking God to do for us is to give us the intelligence or the seichel, if that's the word to use, to be able to understand this and to see this. L'chein v'vakesh, that's why a person asks the following. Od yamos lanu akel yosem hasokasenu Yeshua senu selam. What we want God to do is that to heap upon us, right, more than we can understand all of the salvation, shall mole umso, the full measure, kafi yedios, according to his understanding, his knowledge, below lefi yedios, not according to ours. In other words, this is a pasuk which is asking God to give us the ability to understand the goodness that comes out of everything. Right, and Yamos, he should be doing so much of this to us, so many blessings that will come to this understanding. The famous thing, I actually met in Israel. I just want to say this is a side point. This is an interesting story. There's somebody called Meir Birnbaum. You may have the book at home, as Sergeant Birnbaum. You heard this book. He's an amazing guy. I met him in Israel 20 years ago when we moved there. He put a notice in the paper that he was selling American beds. So I was very intrigued. Coming from England, I don't know where American beds were. We went along, you know, these high-rises, right? You know, with the springs and the whole works. The problem was that they work in an American bedroom. And you get them into an Israeli bedroom, there's no way you could open the bed side by side. It was impossible. So, but I went to see them, and we had a wonderful 2 hours with this guy. It was funny, but he was selling them.
Much business.
He couldn't get rid of them. This is what happens in Israel. You walk into the apartment, so he says his name's Meir Birnbaum. Right, I don't know, he's like 6'6". Okay, he's a tall guy. And then he starts telling me the story. He says, you know, that I was one of the first people to relieve the, I think, Belsen. Was it? I haven't read the book. I think it was one of the camps. Book about a Belsen, one of them. And he says that he met a Jew there who told him the real story, what the Chan of Asaman said at the last minute before he was killed. Because if you read the book, the Kovit Shurim of the Chan, you know, he gives the whole speech there, that we're a kapara for the Jews in America. I mean, it's a very sort of unusual speech. But he said, Rabbi Chana said something else, and he told me this. I was, you know, I went to buy a bed, and I got terrified. I couldn't believe it. And he said like this, and this is what makes me think of it, that Rabbi Chana gave over a moshel, and he's a very, you know, it's the famous nursery rhyme. You know, you put the seed in the ground, what happens to the seed? It disintegrates, and then something comes up, right? And then you water it, so it looks as if the ground is getting messed up and everything. Every time you're doing something to improve, it looks as if you're destroying. And what do you do to the wheat? Cut it down, right? So you look as if you destroyed it. But then you've got something which eventually produces the most wonderful bread, the most wonderful product of the earth. And he said, this is what Rav Chanan said, that what we're going through at the moment, we're being cut down. Doesn't know why, can't explain to his tzibur in any way why this is happening. But he knows there's going to be this loaf of bread at the end. He knows something incredible is going to come out of it. That's what he said as his last speech. It was amazing. And this is in the book. If you've got the book, check it. I think it's towards the end. He brings this thing from the Rav Chanan Asa, which is very, very poignant because he was in America in 1939. And they begged him to stay, you know, because Rav Simcha stayed. Right? He was here, so Glassman went off to the West Coast eventually. But Rav Chaim went back, he said, I can't leave Yeshiva. And he knew he was going back to that. He knew that was going to happen. He knew that if things were going the way they were going to go, eventually there was going to be something that was terrible was going to happen. He knew. Unbelievable gentleman. I mean, this is beyond our understanding. All that sort of comes in, all these thoughts come together in this particular in this particular description over here, right? That you want Hashem to give us the knowledge above and beyond, that we can see the goodness that will come out of something, right? By heaping His blessings upon us, that even something which looks on the surface to be ra, if it looks bitter or bad or whatever word you want to use, that eventually will turn out to be something very positive. Now, Kain Berefuah. After all that introduction, we can now talk about Refuah. Gam Shakadosh Baruch Hu Shalech Refuah. Even that God sends the healing to us, there are situations where a man doesn't want to receive it. For whatever reason, it could be that, you know, you have no faith in the doctors, second opinion, third opinion, 45th opinion, you know, whatever it is. Al Kain, so what is our request? What do we say every day? Refa'enu Hashem, Shem heal us, Sheishlach lanu Refuah min Hashemayim. Send us the Refuah. Now, whether it's Refuah Sanefesh or Refuah Saguf, he's not going into that. All right, we suggested before that it could be one was Refuah Sanefesh and then Refuah Saguf. He's saying just stump. Send the Refuah. V'nei Rafei. What's V'nei Rafei? Perush Shetitein B'ta'atenu. That give us the knowledge, the Kabel et Refuah, to receive it. Right? It's almost like the we mention this joke almost every week. You know, you send the helicopter, you send the boat, the guy who's going, you know, in the flood, and then he drowns. Right? You know, and he goes up to heaven and he says, where were you? I called for you. So God says, you know, I sent you a boat, I sent you a helicopter, you know. Why didn't you get on? Why didn't you do something? Why didn't you receive the salvation when it was at hand? And this is really what he's saying here. We're asking Hashem not only to send the refuah, but nei rafei, let us have the ability to discern, to understand, to do the right thing, to receive the healing which you're sending. It's a beautiful thing.
But even like, in order to be healed, you really have to, like, you find some people, if they're very sick, you know, like, fight it, and some people just go with it.
There was this, I saw a case of somebody in London who refused chemotherapy for stomach cancer, and he grew and grew and grew. And as a young guy, he was like 45 years old. And eventually the doctors begged him, they got on their knees almost, to beg him to do this treatment. And he said, he doesn't want to do the treatment, he doesn't want to lose his hand, he doesn't want to go through all that stuff, and he just couldn't face it. But they said to him, but you're a healthy guy, you could actually recover from this. Right? It was a treatable cancer, and may not live to 100, but he would certainly have another few years. And he wasn't prepared to receive the refuah. And you saw him deteriorating at different stages, till eventually he got to the point where he decided he changed. And I don't remember now what turned him around. Not Jewish, he was a non-Jewish guy. And then all of a sudden there was a kind of major change in this guy. Once he was prepared to receive it, once he was prepared to accept it, he was out of hospital probably within a couple of months. I mean, it took months to bring the whole thing back into under control. And it was, this is what we're saying here, it was the fact that you're prepared to receive the refuah made the refuah more potent. All right, sometimes we're just not prepared to receive it. Whatever that means, whether that means that in terms of the doctor giving it to, I don't know. I mean, you know, one can sort of fit this into whatever scenario you want to fit it into. But let's go on. V'chein Hoshi'enu. So what's the Hoshi'enu? She'tishlach lanu Yeshua min Hashemayim. Now, is this a Yeshua in health, or this is a Yeshua in general terms? I don't know. Maybe that's what he means. Hoshi'enu, that we should have a general saving. We should be saved. Nivvasheh. The Nivvasheh means she'titein eitzeh b'levavenu. The Kabbalah says Yeshua. Right, and when it comes, we should have the wisdom to accept it.
I think we're talking about the first and the first
and maybe first and the first. Good. I would even go as far as to say that this is Yeshua in the general sense. The Mashiach comes. This is the question beyond all questions.
Don't we have a separate bro? We have a separate bracha.
We're talking about it separately, but I'm talking about the concept and saying that when Mashiach comes, one of the apart from everything else that we're going to have a problem with, you know, the question of acceptance is going to be the most...
in the middle of the nook game. Well, no one,
somebody was saying, you know, like if somebody called you up and said, go pick up the Mashiach at Newark Airport, you know, like...
Yeah, that's not going to happen, you know, because you're going to... Whatever it is. I mean, he's going to be too Hasidic, he's going to be too Misnagdi, he's going to be too, Ashkenazi, too Sephardi. What's he going to be? You know, what sort of Jew can it possibly be? It's got to be a Jew that's kind of going to be, you know, persona to everybody. That's why Lubavitcher Rebbe was such a good candidate. Because everybody's sort of related to him, whether you know, from whatever walk of life you... Because that's the answer. Mashiach's got to be a Weltmensch, you know, he's got to be for everybody. And we've got to understand that. It could very well be that Lubavitcher's all right, that he was the man for the position. Right? I'm prepared to say that. But the trouble was that the world didn't see it like that. The world wasn't a Kabbalah.
He was.
He still is.
Well, I'm not talking about that. That's they're off the deep end, right? You know, I mean, that's going into another religion.
Just how to get that in.
I understand it.
You know, they have a.
They have an
online camera, and it's kept
waiting for
24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
You can fax them right there.
But I'm saying they have. You can actually view it online.
Kevacam.
So,
there you go.
That's sort of unbelievable thing
like
to watch.
I don't like to laugh at anybody else's beliefs. So you got to...
What is the bottom line of that? Because...
That's it.
The Babish have a special sort of mock, and they've got a special place here. The thing that always struck me was that they were so bound to him for every single decision. You know, you're like losing a parent. Mm-hmm. Right? And therefore you can't lose the parent. You know, you can't let go. And I understand where that's coming from, that emotion, but it's kind of twisted itself into something, which, wow, I don't know what the latest thing is. I have to say, I have great respect and whatever for the work that's done all over the world by Lubavitch, except when you get into Crown Heights, and you begin to feel you're in kind of no man's land. It's a strange, strange, eclectic mix of, you name it, you've got everything there. Every sug and every strange, odd individual in the world, and it's I don't know what it is. I don't know what it was like when the Rebbe was alive, that you had all these sort of very unusual people milling around. What was it like in Rav Nachman's court in Breslau? I don't know. In Oman, you tell me. Probably also had a bunch of sort of strange people hanging around him as well. Maybe these Rebbes, that's what it is. I just don't know.
And Chabad is the most intellectual of all the Hasidus.
In terms of what they're preaching, incredible. All right. Anyway, we'll save ourselves any more comments on that.
You did.
Without getting some thunder and lightning from heaven. Now, what is this repeat bakasha? All right, I just want to get through this. He bakasha miyuchedes. It's a special request. Al daz or al derech on the pasuk which says yishlach the baruch yifaim yomaleit mishchitutam. Save us from shchitut. Shchitut means corruption. What does that mean? Wa'inu matzanu, we find sharofei mechaven refuah, right? The rofe, the doctor, sort of points his refuah in a certain direction, is healing. But no shal yodan, somebody is safe. Rakachole yashkes nasha. Ah, so he said it's within the realm of healing. He said what happens, unfortunately, is that the sick person doesn't get it. He brings destruction upon himself. Banhagas achilosh siya. Right, the doctor says, by the way, you know, this is all well and good, but just be careful what you eat and what you drink. And the guy carries on, you know, his 10 beers a day and his whiskey and whatever, and he doesn't care. But and this, ain't biyada rofi lesaken, this is what the doctor cannot really do anything about. And we've come across cases like that. Avra kadosh baruch hu shaleach refuah shalema. This is the refuah shalema, complete refuah. Yishlach devorah v'yipa'e mitacha lu'ehem. He should heal them from their sickness. Od yimaleit otam mishchitu tam. Not only should you get the refuah, but you should have the recuperation, convalescence, but it's more like, you know, when you go to the hospital afterwards, when you would do some sort of follow-up,
rehabilitation,
that's it, that the rehabilitation should be part of the refuah as well, and this is the refuah shalema. Right, that not only should I refer, but there should be a good rehabilitation as well. Interesting idea. Bezer Omra, this is what they say. The Ha'alei refer Shalem Lechol Makasim. Ma Shemechin Anachnu Biyad Mamash Atzmeinu Atzamnu Lashkes Nashem. Whatever we have prepared, we should be stopped from destroying our souls. Basically, in other words, as much as we are being given a refer from God, we are praying to God that we should not then go and do ourselves in. Right, in the process, because sometimes we can just, you know, not take it seriously, we don't take the doctor's advice or whatever, and we end up doing more damage because of it. We should listen to all the instructions, follow the rehabilitation, what we have to do, whatever it may be, in order to make the thing a refuah shalema. Maybe v'ha'alei, the idea is it should go to the highest level, right, aliyah. It should be sort of a refuah which is really up there. I like that idea. I love the idea of that we were praying that we should know how to rehabilitate, as well as being healed, but the rehabilitation is also part of the healing process. I think that's a spectacular concept. And then he goes on. All the various attributes of God, right? So what's Rofei Ne'eman? So explain. Rofei Ne'eman, a faithful healer. Nikra Masha Rofei Osana B'chayam. God does it every day. That's Ne'eman, right? Constant. Ki emuna hu hasmaras adova. It's a continual thing. Kamosha Omar Emes Ve'emuna. right? Emes emuna, continual truth. Emuna, the idea of something which is sort of continuing. Interesting sort of thing, analysis of the word emuna. Emuna is the idea of constancy, right? You have emuna in God, you have this constant connection or constant belief, or whichever you want to understand it. It's an interesting thing. Al derech, and he brings it, a pasuk, utikativ yated, you dig a peg in the ground, b'mokon ne'ema, right? In a place which is faithful, in a place which is strong, which is constant. B'rachamon atas, so that's the rofe ne'ema, right? That God sends the refuah on a constant basis. V'rachamon atas, what's the rachamon? L'hatzil osonu mishkitaten, and this is what we just said, that the merciful part of it is that we don't then go and ruin the whole effect. All right, because we could do this, okay? And it's how you take your medications and all the rest of it. It's all part of what we are praying that we should get right. All right, and again, I mean, the stories are horrendous. The Spanish illegal immigrant who took 11 tablets, as it said, once a day. And he thought ONCE is Spanish for 11, right? So he took 11 tablets. You hear that story? That was something which was few months ago, and of course ended up in hospital, you know, taking 11, but specifically take one, because he didn't realize this was in English. It was a terrible story. And again, it's almost as if you're saying, you know, just give us the secret, how to do this properly. Right? Even something which nowadays, of course, we're so used to this, but yeah, it's one of the things we need to think about. And he explains, ki mashkis nafsho, hu yaseh devarim menagdin refuas gufa, because you want to destroy yourself, you'll do things which go against the refuah of the guf. This is the extra rachmanas of God, that he will protect us from all evil, really from our own evil, from what we can do to ourselves. But Amar El Melech, what's the El Melech? Beis Kinui made these two descriptions. Neged Rofei Nema. He sees it always as parallels. You know, his style is always to say that one phrase, you know, connects to the other. We went back to the original bracha of Kel Akadala Gibavana. We keep doing that. And here he sees double expression. He sees Kel Melech corresponding to Rofei Nema. And how does that work? Neged Rofei Ne'eman, Omar Melech. King is the Rofei Ne'eman. Ki Hashem Melech Olam Va'eh. God is the Melech forever. Al-Kain Nikro Rofei Ne'eman. This idea of Ne'eman, again, as he explained, is a continuous healer. So that's the Kel Melech. That's the Melech. Shomer Emunoso La'ad, who keeps his faith forever. And what's the Rachamon? The Neged Rachman Omar, Neged Rachman Otto Omar Kel. The Roshan Kel is the Rachmanus. Why? Kara Kemosha Kosos. It says Chesed Kel Kodim. Right, again, he's so at home with Tanakh, he certainly doesn't tell you where this psukim come from, but he links up the ideas. So you've got Kikel Melech Rofe Ne'eman V'Rachman Ato. So Kel is the Rofe Rachamon, right? The Rachamon at the end, and the Melech is the Rofe Ne'eman. Okay, and he says that's the kind of repetition, expression within an expression. And then finally, Baruch Atah Hashem Rofei Chalamo Yisrael. What's all this all about? The end. Kol zos yifal hakel im gever ba'avur shezocheh chaste ovos. In the end of the day, why does God do this? Because he remembers the deeds of the fathers. Zocha es tavar kodsho es b'nei Yaakov b'chiro. He remembers the holy word of the b'nei Yaakov he's chosen. U'klal b'brocha rishonah b'sheva. And this is all part of the original bracha. Remember, he always goes back to that. V'zocheh chaste ovos. L'chein ama amo Yisrael. This is why it's referring to the people of Israel, not just individually, but collectively, because it goes back to the Zocheh Chastei Ovos, which is merits of the fathers for the whole of Am Yisrael. All right, putting this all together, and that last piece is sort of kind of a sort of play around with the ideas. He clearly sees this not. I'm not sure if he's into the Refuah Nefesh, Refuah Saguf, like we said. He seems to be seeing all of it as Refuah Saguf, but different stages of Refuah. Right? Whichever way you see this bracha, whether you see it as refuah and nefesh and refuah sagur, you see it as refuah sagur, different stages to get the refuah constantly, and to know how to apply it, and to know how to follow it, and know how to use it, and to know how to understand and appreciate it. Right? Whichever way you understand this bracha is a very humbling bracha. Tov shabarof in the Gihino. I can understand the doctor who really feels he's full of, you know, sort of his own confidence. He won't want to say this, because this is kind of saying, well, at the end of the day, everything I do, my hands are guided. My hands, and I have to appreciate. And the Jewish doctor will say that. Mm-hmm. Right? And if the Jewish doctor doesn't say that, then he really should be saying that. And he needs to sort of listen to this tape. Otherwise, he's missing the point.
If he's working.
If he's working, yeah, that's a good point. Unbelievable. This is really, really something special. Next week, Baruch Aleinu. Again, I like the idea we're covering a bracha week. I think this is really keeping the pace going. And at the same time, you know, the ideas are spectacular ideas. spectacular, unbelievable concerts of learning. This Raffaena really, really sort of struck me. Beautiful, beautiful, I guess. We'll leave it at that.
Sure.
To be continued.
Thank you. Sure.